among his generation. He was a man of faith, and therefore God saved Noah and his family from the destruction. In this, God was initiating redemption for Noah's family and the beginning of cleansing the earth so that reconciliation could take place. This pattern of God initiating restoration echoes throughout our Bible. As God began anew with Noah, God later would begin anew when he sent his son to restore and redeem creation. Now remember, Noah wasn't sinless. No one is sinless. But he walked faithfully with God. So here's where I want to reflect the first point on your yellow sheets. Does God find you walking faithfully with him? Do you allow God to lead? Or do you try to direct the path yourself? Take a moment to quietly ask God to guide you into a deeper relationship with him. My second point is provisions and covenant. Let's continue learning about God's story of Noah. God had shared with Noah his grief of the widespread violence and injustice that had corrupted a world God had created to be good. God's instructions to Noah were precise. And Rick read that. I mean, so many cubits of this and how many floors and how high the roof had to hang over and every little detail. He told them to build the ark to those specific dimensions, gathering pairs of every living creature, both clean and unclean, and to prepare for the coming flood. Now, these directions were not just practical. They were the first steps in a covenant, a promise that God would preserve life and offer a new beginning. Through Noah's obedience, God initiated a process of restoration. And he shows both justice in confronting evil and mercy for a future. Now, I want to interject a little side note, because some of you may have heard the scripture and went, wait, what? What happened there? Within the passage we read, there appears to be two accounts of the preparations of flood. And that could be a whole sermon in itself, but I'm not going to go all the way there. But I want to point out chapter 6, verses 18 and 19. God says, you are to bring two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every bird, every kind of animal, every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you and be kept alive. But then when we get to chapter 7, verses 2 and 3, God says, take with you, can't count, seven pairs of every kind of clean animal and one pair of every kind of unclean animal, and also seven pairs of every kind of bird, male and female, and their various kinds alive throughout the earth. Commentators have acknowledged that this is a detail for a twofold purpose. First of all, you notice the number seven. And if you have some Bible knowledge, you may remember that seven is the number of completion. And so that's trailing through that story. But there's also a need for clean animals so that sacrifices could be made. if he only had two clean animals and he had to make a sacrifice, there would not be any of those animals left because the rest would have been wiped out in the flood. So he needed seven. Those are some small details. But what I want you to remember from all of this is that ancient Bible stories were passed down in oral tradition. They were retold and retold and retold. And you know how stories go when they get retold within your own family. Details may change. But that's not the main point. The point of so many Old Testament stories is not how things happened. It's why things happened. It's not the details. Why is this story happening? This story is a story of covenant of redemption. So God tells Noah good news. He and his family are going to be delivered from this catastrophic flood. The first promise and covenant made by God to Noah. God says, if Noah obeys his instructions, he will save him from destruction. God's desire here is to restore what he had created earlier. Genesis 6:18 says, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons, your wife and your sons' wives with you. God is promising to save Noah and his family through the ark. And this ark, it symbolizes the cross of Jesus Christ. Because through the cross, we were saved. Through the ark, Noah is saved. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ saves all those who believe in him and put their faith in him. Jesus is the ultimate rescuer of sinners. And this is pure grace from God. Noah did not deserve to live. Noah was still a sinner, but God initiated this grace towards Noah and his family anyway. Noah and his family were saved only through God, and it is only through God's Son that we are redeemed. Praise God for the grace that he has lavished on us. The story of Noah challenges us. It challenges us to consider our own stewardship in the world and our willingness to listen and respond to God's call, even when the path is difficult or misunderstood by others. In Genesis 1:28, God tells Adam and Eve to be fruitful, fill the earth and subdue it. Now, I was looking at the footnotes, and it described it this way in the NIV. As God's representatives in the creaturely realm, they are stewards of God's creatures. They are not to exploit, waste, or despoil them, but to care for them and use them in service of God and humankind. God is calling us to care for what he has made. This includes human beings, creatures, birds, all of creation. I found this quote from author Wendell Berry from his book, Christianity and the Survival of Creation. Our destruction of nature is not just bad stewardship, or stupid economics, or a betrayal of family responsibility. It is the most horrid blasphemy. It is flinging God's gifts in his face. stings. By not caring for God's creation, we're taking his gifts and just flinging them in his face with no regard. So what can we do about it? What can we learn? We sang, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. We praise God in our songs. We praise God in scripture. But do we really care for our creation? Or do we just use it for our own gain and profit? I would like to encourage you to think of one way that you can begin to care for the world. This is the second point on your yellow sheet. One way to care for this world with the help of the Holy Spirit. And some ideas I had were supporting an earth care organization, planning efficient outings to save gas, recycling, stopping littering. But the possibilities are endless. There are so many. This is between you and God. How can you do this better? What is the Holy Spirit prompting you to change in your thoughts or habits in caring for God's creation? Our third point is obedience. Faith in action. Noah completed the ark with everything God had commanded, including all the living creatures, just as God has instructed. Now, this was no easy task. Some commentators suggest that it may have taken Noah 100 years just to build the ark. And throughout this time, Noah and his family endured ridicule and cruel comments from their community. Yet despite the endless mockery, Noah remained steadfast. He clung to his faith, and he continued to obey God. In Hebrews 11:7, it says, "By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith." It's not just Noah's obedience to God, but acting in faith as well. This is a terrifying story when we really think about it. Noah's story can be inspiring. It can also be unsettling. And it prompts us to ask ourselves, could we hold fast to God's promises and obey even when we face criticism, isolation, or fear? See, faith in God is not an easy road. Sometimes stepping out boldly requires strength from God. The reality of obedience to God can be costly. It may mean enduring misunderstanding, loneliness, or even personal sacrifice. As you reflect on Noah's example, consider your own journey of faith. We're at the next point on your yellow sheet. Is your faith strong, or does it need strengthening? Are you able to trust God's guidance, even when the path is difficult or unpopular? These are deeply personal questions. And it's natural for us to wrestle with doubt or uncertainty. If you find you need encouragement, remember you are not alone. We have the Holy Spirit guiding us and a community of believers right here to support us. So don't be afraid to reach out to a trusted friend or mentor or spiritual leader for support and prayer. In a world that often feels frightening and uncertain, God calls us to obedience. Obedience that may come with a cost. May we find courage in Noah's example as we seek to follow God's call in our own lives. Let us strive to be a people who listen, trust, and act in faith, knowing that God's promises remain true, even in the midst of storms. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's pray. My prayer, by the way, comes from a devotional by Tim Keller called Songs of Jesus. Gracious God, we thank you for saving Noah and his family in the ark. We pray that we can apply what we have learned through Noah's faith to our own lives. Draw us closer in our relationship with you through the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross, redeeming us from all our sins. Quote, help us remember that our salvation in Christ is complete. This enables us to take on tasks and challenges with confidence and joy. We put ourselves in your hands. Work through us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.